The words of the Maharal, the last Isakin, it talks about the vision of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw the Gaishah Malchias, the Abba Malchias, as a Kemis Adam Steimer, as a giant statue of a human being. And there are different levels. There's the top, which represents Babel, and then Paras and Madai, then Yavan, v'chein, v'chein. And a stone came out from the statue and struck the statue in the legs, and then the whole statue tumbled. So the Maharal says, Bein Advarim, that the regal is the most vulnerable part of the person. It's the most vulnerable part of the Kemis Adam. So the stone took the entire statue down, a mighty powerful statue, just by hitting it in the legs. If it would have hit it anywhere else, the statue wouldn't have gone down. The statue is very strong, it's very powerful. The vulnerability of a great and powerful statue is the legs. That's what's the most vulnerable. So we mentioned that Hanukkah is approaching, it's almost upon us. So it would be appropriate to talk about the legs. Bekesha to another mark in the legs. We're saying there's parallels. These parallels, they mean something. In Nebuchadnezzar's vision, he saw a stone which represented Yaakov Avinu, which is taking down, and Yaakov Avinu is taking down all four conquering nations by a blow to the legs. And Yaakov Avinu, who's a great, mighty, colossal person, was taken down by a blow to the leg. That means that the Tsar of the nations, it was Tsar Shel Edom. The Tsar of Edom took Yaakov down by a blow to the legs. And Yaakov Avinu, through his stone, takes down all the four nations through a blow to the leg. It can't be coincidental. It has to mean something. They're both going for the leg. So we have to start, at least start, we can continue with the shambles, you have to start at least understanding what a leg is. What's a leg? What's a leg in the Kemis Adam? What's a leg in the Midas? What's a leg in the Bachama of Yaakov with the Malach? Was not a physical Bachama at all. A Malach at that time was not attaining any physical form. The Malach was fighting with Yaakov like a Malach. The Malach was not like the three angels that came to visit Avraham Avinu and light. They looked like people. They washed their feet. They ate. They looked like people. But Tsar Shel Esav that was Mizdavak with Yaakov Avinu was a Malach. It was fighting with Yaakov as a Malach. So that means it's not fighting a physical war. It's fighting a war with Yaakov. It's filling his mind with thoughts. And these thoughts, they could rip him apart. They could be much more fatal to Yaakov than a physical blow. So what were the thoughts? So it was a mind. It was a war of the minds. It was a clash of the minds. That Esav Malach was trying to take over Yaakov's mind. Esav Malach was filling his mind with thoughts which would test him. Filling his mind with thoughts that would distract him. Filling his mind with questions that he can't answer. I'm sure we've all encountered people, either we had our own personal experiences with distracting thoughts, or we know people that their minds are filled with distracting thoughts. And that's all they have. It's just a constant flow of questions that you can't answer. And that's it. That's their Nisayan. And Yaakov Avinu had that Nisayan. And he won. So let's try and understand this in the light of Hanukkah. Rizal reveals that Yamim Tovim are times of celebration. They're times of commemoration. We are celebrating and we're commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim. We celebrate it. And that's true. But there are also times when you go in one way and come out totally different. You're not supposed to come out the same. And more particularly, when we enter into a Yom Tov, we enter into a Yom Tov damaged. And we come out, we're supposed to repair the damage. It would be very nice if we could repair all the damage at one, you know, after one Yom Tov. But that would be a feat of great strength to be able to fix up everything that was wrong with us with one Yom Tov. So it's a cycle. We go from Pesach, we start. Shavuos is the middle, Sukkos is the end. And at the end of that cycle, we should have gained ground. And then we start the cycle again, from a higher point. And that's Yom Tovim, our times and periods when we go in one way, we come out better. And the each Yom Tov is just to build on the one that preceded it. It should be a spiral. We're going in an upwards direction, but very gradually, just like a spiral. You know, imagine a slinky with a lot of coils. You're constantly going up, but it's extremely gradual, and you're going around in a circle in order to go up. And that the world is a circle. In Slichas, we say, Hancheni mi enef, unecheni bi yesher ma'agol. Lead me along the straight way. Magli tzedek. Bi yesher ma'agol is, lead me in a straight circle. The Jewish said Magli Tzedek, righteous circles. It's the same thing. That was good. B'yoshem ma'agal, hancheni, God, please, lead me in a straight circle. Yoshem means straight, ma'agal means a circle. What is meant by l'cheni b'yoshem ma'agal? A circle is not straight. Straight is not a circle. What does it mean? We pray, hancheni b'yoshem ma'agal. The Teretz is, When we say Yesha straight, we mean that we should constantly be going up. In that respect, we're going straight. We're going straight up. But the way to do that is to go around in circles, but not circles, spirals. Not circles. You go around in a circle, you never get out. You never go anywhere. Spirals. Spirals. If you want to go up a hill with a bicycle, you zigzag. You don't go straight up. It's the angles. You zigzag. We go around, but at the same time we're going around, we're constantly moving upwards. So we're going straight up by going in circles, and that's what we do. Everything about Yiddishkeit is circles. And the Arizal said that each Yom Tov fixes something else. So you have the five derises and the two derabbanans. We have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, and Chanukah, and Purim. And each Yom Tov is misakin something else. Chanukah is the last Yom Tov. Historically, it's the last Yom Tov. Purim was before Chanukah. Purim was before the second Beis HaMikdash was built. And Chanukah is towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's like 300 years later. It's the last Yom Tov that we have. The very last one that we have that was instituted by Chazal was Chanukah. It's Seif Kalamayidus. There's no more Yom Tovim after Chanukah. Anything that's after Chanukah is not a Yom Tov. It's Seif Kalamayidus. So you state in many, many sources. It's Seif Kalamayidus. There's no more Kayak to make Mayidus. There's no more Kayak to make a Mayidus. To have a din made with the Takanas Chazal. And the Arizal says that it's Misakin, the Midah of Hoid. There's a Pasuk that we darshan And the midas lachashem agdula vagvura vatiferes vanetzach vahayit. Kikol b'shemayim lo aris lachashem amar malachat. Seven midas. And the Rizal says that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is to be misakin the mid of height. It's to be misakin the mid of height. In the midas, the spheres. So every one of the midas is a parable to a body part. Right, so you have Chachma, Bina, and Das, that's obviously the head. Chachma, Bina, and Das are head, the midas of the head. Chesed is the mid of the right arm, because you extend your hand in Chesed. Gvura is the mid of the left arm, because you protect yourself with the left arm. The left arm doesn't go out to pass things out and to give things. The left arm stays close to the body to protect. It stays in. It's powerful, but it's powerful at keeping what you have. And the right arm is powerful in giving from yourself to others. And the left is keeping what you have. Also strong. Tiferes is the torso between the right arms and the left arms. And Netzach and Hayit are the legs. Kikol b'shamayim v'aretz is the reproductive organ. And Lecha Hashem Hamamlacha, that's all the midas. That's all the midas together. It's Malchus. So you have 6 meters that are parallel to, or actually 9 meters that are parallel to the body parts. And you have 1 meter that's a meter klalas malchus. So all the parts of the body should be under Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus. When Esau's Malach fought with Yaakov Avinu, he wasn't able to inflict any harm on him. Yaakov was perfect. He couldn't land a blow anywhere. Yaakov's emunah was perfect. Then any of the questions they threw at him, or the doubts, or the murkiness, didn't make an impact on Yaakov. Everything Yaakov saw so clearly, you couldn't confuse him, you couldn't create a conflict between him and his creator. But he was able to inflict a wound on the leg. He shifted the joint. And he was pegeya in the midah called height. That means that there was something in Yaakov that was not perfect. It wasn't the upper part of the body. The upper part of the body is the person, his emotions, his thoughts, his actions. And the lower part of the body, what's the purpose of the lower part of the body? That's to enable the person to go from place to place. It's just transportation. The higher part of the body represents the person. And the lower part of the body represents getting that person to where he has to go. The lower part of the body is not the person. That's the legs. That's not the person. So, Rahman al-Sun, a person doesn't have a brain, he's not a person. Rahman al-Sun, if a person doesn't have arms, he can't do anything. If he doesn't have legs, he is a person, he can do things, he just can't get anywhere. So there's a very big difference between the upper part of the body and the lower part of the body. The reproductive organs is the same thing. That's not the person. That's what enables him to extend himself by having children. So the legs and the reproductive organs are related because they both enable the person to be where he's not. Either to travel by walking from one, he's on one side of the room. So the legs help him go to the other side of the room. He's going to die. So the children help him continue after he's not around anymore. So the lower part of the body has to do with transportation. So Yaakov Avinu was perfect. Yaakov each time Yeshua only is perfect. But there was one weakness that Yaakov had, and it wasn't in himself. It's in the things that come from him. He had the ability to be Yaakov everywhere. Do you understand? The ability to be Yaakov, even if you're not here and you're over there. The ability to be Yaakov, even if you die and your children continue after you, and that Yaakov should continue in your children. So that's, you know, that's what was missing. So that's how Yaakov could be, at the same time he's perfect, and at the same time he has a flaw. Because the essential Yaakov was perfect. Yaakov is perfect. But his ability to travel, to exist in all situations, and have continuity, so that was flawed. And that's called a makan in the Midah of Hod. We'll get to that more specifically, exactly what that makan is. The makan in the Midah of Hod. So Arizal says that Hanukkah, Bayamim Ahim Bezman Hazeh, Hanukkah is the tikkun of the wound that the Malach inflicted on Yaakov's leg. Hanukkah is the tikkun. He's talking about what happened in the time of Hanukkah. What happened in the time of Hanukkah, what the Hashmonaim did, with the Mesiras Nefesh, so that fixed up. That was misakin whatever Yaakov Avinu was missing. And when we go through a Hanukkah, so we could benefit from what they did then. And we could fix ourselves up in the same way every year. So let's get to more particulars. The two legs of a person are the midah of netzach and hayt. The Vilna Gaon explains what these midahs are. I mean, chesed, we're all pretty familiar with chesed. Gevura, we know what gevura is. What's netzach and hayt? So the first you say is, if since there's two legs, one's the right and one's the left, so then they have to somehow parallel the right arm and the left arm. Now the right arm of every person is the arm that's more powerful. And it's the arm which gives. The left arm is less powerful. It's the arm that holds in. So the legs have to be the same way. There's righty legs and lefty legs. Right legs and left legs. Now this concept is going to be a familiar concept. So you have a tzaddik. The Gemara talks about this. It's someone that's rave mitzvahs and mir averus. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him his punishment in this world. And in order that by the time he reaches the next world, then the only thing that remains to be done for him is to give him reward, because the punishment he got already. So Hashem wants to make sure he gets his complete punishment in this world. And it's shreklich. It is shreklich. Even a tzaddik. Even when you're talking about a tzaddik. And the minority of the tzaddik is averus. But it's shreklich. The punishment in this world for an avera is mama shreklich. Shreklich. What does shreklich mean? Frightening. Terrifying. It's terrifying. It's terrifying for the tzaddik himself. It's terrifying for anyone that knows or sees the tzaddik. It's shreklich. It's a shrek. It's a gewalt. Why does Hashem do that? Because when he dies, there's no more punishment. He got it already. So what's left? Reward. And where does he get the reward? In the Olam of Netzach. the realm of eternity. So he gets his punishment in the world of limits, because as bad as it is, there's limits. There's a limit to how much a person can be tortured in this world. So as bad as it is, there's limits. And the Olam HaNitzchi, everything there is everlasting. So Hashem punishes the tzaddik in this world for the minority of his acts that are various, and he gives him reward in the world to come. And the Gemara says that the kind of punishment that the tzaddik gets in this world is like the punishment that you'd expect to give to someone that burnt a Sefer Torah. Yeah. They burnt up the whole Torah. They look at the tzaddik, Eiv. They look at anyone that looked at Eiv, they thought he was the biggest Russia, the biggest sinner. He suffered more than anyone, so it must be. It can't be. He must be a Russia, and he's in denial, and his friends told him that. He's in denial. There's something you did. There's something that God got angry. Stop it already, you know. You have to do tshuva. His friends told him the tshuva. He told his friends, you're eating me up alive. They didn't understand. He knew he wasn't that bad. His friends thought he was that bad. And then sometimes, if someone is a Russia, that the majority of his acts in this life were averus, and the minority is mitzvahs. Hashem does not want him to get rewarded forever. On the other hand, Hashem has to reward him because he did mitzvahs. He worked hard, he did mitzvahs. He put on tefillin 2 minutes before shkia, he did mitzvahs. I'm serious, I'm saying he did mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't want him to have reward l'netzach. He's a wicked person. So then Hashem says, okay, he has a minority of mitzvahs. So Hashem rewards him in this world. And Hashem gives him kol tov shava olam. And such a person win a lottery. Win the jackpot. And get $322 million. And everything goes well for him. You know, he sells the stock, and right after he sells it, goes down. And then he buys it back, and it goes up. Everything works for him. And the Gemara says it looks like he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But after he dies, there's no more reward for him. He got it already. So what's left? Punishment for the majority of the avarice he did, forever, for all eternity. So the Vilna Gaon says that there's two types of chesed and there's two types of din. There's chesed b'tzuras chesed. I mean, it's chesed that looks like chesed. And then there's chesed that has a levush on it. There's a levush din. That the chesed dictates that there has to be din. Hashem wants to do chesed with the tzaddik. At the same time, the tzaddik is a minority of averus. The chesed dictates that he should have din in order to have chesed, everlasting chesed, after he dies. So the din comes from the chesed. Because of the din, Hashem could reward him forever. And then there's din b'tzuras chesed. Hashem wants to take away everything from this person. He's a Rasha. Hashem wants to take away every single thing. He wants to make sure he gets no reward forever. So Hashem is mashpia chesed on him. Why? So after he dies, there'll be nothing left. And then the din will start. So it's din b'tzuras chesed. Netzach and Hayat, the Vilna Gaon says, that's the 2 meters of Netzach and Hayat. Netzach is when Hashem is giving chesed through din. That's when bad things happen to good people. That's Midas and Netzach. And Hayat is the opposite. That's when good things happen to bad people. What does the word Hayat mean? And we translate it as glorious, splendor, but hidden. This is hidden, but there's a more partial meaning. Chayit means, what does Maidim mean? to be made, to give in, you're in a fight with somebody. Okay, I'm made. At least being made was a little bit of it. Okay, I'm made. Hide means made. Why? Because when hide is going on, it looks like God is being made to the Russia. Why are these meters of the legs? Why are these meters of the legs? These meters are the meters that enable people to make big mistakes. These meters enable people to say, there's no point in being a good person. God doesn't know. God doesn't care. Because look, you see a good person, look what happened to him. He said, people say, I would never want to be a tzaddik. Look what happens to tzaddikim. And they were shying. The wicked prosper. You want to get ahead. You want to be king of the molehill? You gotta cheat. You have to be a Russia. Only the good die. What was that, Billy Joel? Right? Only the good die young. And people think that way. And you look around, and you see it. And the older you get, the more you see it. The good people, there's no guarantee for a good person that he's going to have a good life. And there's Rishayim, they have fame and fortune. And their evil actions don't seem to take away from that. These midas provide a channel, they provide an opportunity for people to make mistakes. If only good things happen to good people, and only bad things happen to bad people, how much of a challenge would it be to be good or bad? If you notice the pattern, you took a notebook, and you made a cheshbon of all the bad things that happened to the world. You researched the people that it happened to, and your statistics came out as a 100% rating that the bad things all happened to bad people in bad places. And then you took out another notebook. Who did good things happen to? Only good people. It wouldn't take you long to figure out that if you want something good to happen to you, you'd be a good person. And if you want to avoid bad things, don't be a bad person. It wouldn't take you long to figure out. How difficult would it be? It wouldn't be difficult at all once you found the pattern. So then, Avodas Hashem, you don't have where to go. You're there. You've arrived. Once you figure this out, that only good things happen to good people, and bad. Once you figure that out, you've got nowhere to go. You'll figure it out. And you'll stick to it. And anytime you need chizuk, you just look at the nearest bad guy that got zapped by a lightning bolt. And you'll say, no, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm going to do it if I got zapped by a lightning bolt. I don't want to get zapped by a lightning bolt. People that get zapped by lightning bolts, they talk funny and their brains are fried. I don't want to get zapped by lightning bolts. I'm not going to do that. And you have constant reminders to mechazik yourself. Sur meiro, say tov. But when bad things happen to good people, or good things happen to bad people, so it's confusing. You start having thoughts. You start having questions. And how could God allow the Holocaust to happen? Do you know how many people justified leaving the religion of their fathers because of Hashem?
He's still leftovers.
It's no longer true.
Oh.
You're watching a chicken being eaten by a tree.
Oh, a chicken. I'm not going to eat his tummy.
A carnivorous tree. How many people justify the departure from religion by asking that question? Where was God during the Holocaust?
Hello?
Bad things happen to good people. They make it very hard. And you know how many people that they saw? They went through the Holocaust and they didn't run away. In fact, they ran the other direction, even though they didn't understand it, and nobody could understand it. But they went in the other direction, and if someone did that, so he took his Adam, and he put it in a place that wasn't there before. He traveled. He moved. His bechiras, his choices, are on a totally different level. He has gone where no man has gone before. Because he was put to the test in situations which test the mettle of man. And he passed the test. He went, he traveled. When you're Imer bin Nisayan, when it's placed in front of you, a Nisayan, a test, an evenly matched test, that you can't see clearly which way to go, and things aren't clear anymore, and you pass it, you've gone, you've traveled to where you haven't been before. That's called using your legs. The midas of Netzach and Hayd are the legs of Avodas Hashem. The midah of Chesed, that's clear. The midah of Gvura is clear. Netzach and Hayd are midas that they make the ball field an entirely different ball field. It's a different game. It's a different. It's almost like you have a maze that you walk through, and every 5 minutes the shrubs move and form new patterns. It's impossible. You know, you learn to navigate your way through the maze by going two rights and a left, and then all of a sudden the bushes move and they grow new patterns. And then you have to relearn again how to deal with yourself. You're Imer bin Nisayan in one area, and then all of a sudden you're presented with an area you never dealt with before. And then you deal with that Nisayan. You learn the ropes, and that Nisayan, and that Nisayan. That's traveling. You are walking, says the person. And then there's the legs. Netzach and Hayd are the legs, because they are the midas that enable us to travel. To be, you know, to pass tests that we didn't pass before. To face situations we've never envisioned before. That's Netzach and Hayd. The Malach smote Yaakov in that leg. The left leg. Hayd is the left leg. That's the leg that things are going good for Rishayim. But in reality, they're losing everything. The left leg is the leg of Din. But it looks like Chesed. The right leg is the leg of Chesed, but it looks like Din. He smote Yaakov. The Malach smote Yaakov in the left leg. What does that mean? The That means that Yaakov had no weaknesses. Number one, he himself had no weaknesses.
Yeah.
And number two, he lacked no ability to pass on his perfect self to that which comes after him, to his children and grandchildren. Except in one area. You know, the area of tzaddik v'ra'loi. That's the right leg. That when bad things happen to a tzaddik, it's chesed. See, Klal Yisrael have always been exposed to that. Could anybody here remember in recent memory or in the distant past any time that Klal Yisrael wasn't having a totally miserable time? very few days. You know, the good days are like, in the history of the world, the days when there was no suffering for Klal Yisrael, maybe a few hours in the past 5,775 years. Was there a few hours? You know, Shlomo HaMelech, he built the Beis HaMikdash, he married Bas Parra right afterwards. It's like, there's not even time. How many hours was it? There's no time to breathe. And the Medrash says that when he married Bas Parra, the Malach Gavriel came down and took a reed and put it into a marsh, and then it grew and became a landmass, and then the palatial city of Rome was built upon it. How much time elapsed between, you know, the building of the Beis HaMikdash and marrying Bas Parra? You take all the good moments in history and creation. Maybe we'll come up with a few hours. Adam Arishan, the Ganein, he was Chaitim Sharavias. A few hours. A few hours without that. Matan Torah. From the time of Nasav Nishman until Moshe Rabbeinu went up. And the moment they started, Ish Moshe Enenu. Where's Moshe? There's very, very few days in the history of the world that were Kulei Tov. And it didn't stop us. We went through the tzaras. We made it through the tzaras. The right leg is fine. Time of Hanukkah. It's called Derish Hashmad. The time of Hanukkah was Derish Hashmad. It was also a time of great tzaras to tzaddikim. It was tzaddik v'ra'loi. It was. There was Xeris and Peter can't. There was Xeris and Klai, so they can't learn Torah. There's Kaidish, Mila. They threatened them with all kinds of punishments, consequences, and death. But the difference between Derish Hashmad and any other tzara that preceded it was because all the other tzaras that preceded it, they never presented Klal Yisrael with an alternative. In Purim, there was an alternative to Klal Yisrael. You know, we're going to kill you all unless you do something. Was there an alternative? In Babel, they gave an alternative. We won't destroy your Beis HaMikdash if you, you know, there's never an alternative. They're going to destroy us in whatever the way they destroy people. Babel, Parsim, they destroy people. That's right. There was never something else held up as a possibility. Derish Hashmad, it's called the stick and the carrot. You know what the stick and the carrot is? They held up a stick. They said, we're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to pulverize you. We're going to destroy your religion. You're not going to be left standing. On the other hand, they held up a carrot. Come over to our side. And you'll be just like us. Come over to our side. And we'll treat you well. Come over to our side. And you could be great. Look how beautiful it is. There never was an alternative. I mean, even if in previous generations, if that choice was ever extended to Klal Yisrael, they saw clearly that they're going to be miserable. It wasn't a viable alternative, you know? And they did. Worship of Avodah Zarah going to throw into fire. They had alternatives. You know, Nimrod, you know, he threw Avram in the fire. He gave a choice. But it wasn't much of a choice for him. It wasn't hard for him, because it was so clear that jumping into the fire is preferable than being Avodah Zarah like Nimrod. It's so clear. It was clear. Avram Avinu had clarity. Nimrod was not an attraction to him. Nimrod didn't make sense. He slugged him up. He had the whole vikuach with Avram and Nimrod, you know. Nimrod says, why don't you worship a god? He said, what should I worship? He said, worship fire, okay. But the water puts out the fire. Worship water, but the fire boils out the water. Worship the clouds, but the wind blows the clouds. You know, he kept going with him, you know. He made Hashem blot out of Nimrod. It didn't make sense. It wasn't an attraction. The people weren't happy. They're miserable people. Why would you want to be that way, you know? He has peace of mind. He has Shleim. He's a Yid. He has Avodas Hashem. It's very confusing. But in the times of the Yevanim, it wasn't like that. In the times of the Yevanim, the Rishayim were doing very well. They were successful. They were successful in everything they did. They were successful in conquest. That doesn't need to be stated. Alexander the Great, he conquered the entire world. Whatever he went, they ran. He won. You know, Alexander the Great against anyone else, he wins, they lose. They were the greatest in music. They were the greatest in the physical prowess, the Olympics. They were the greatest in philosophy. They were wise. They were aesthetic. They were sublime. There's so much beauty.